Blog Talk Radio.
You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our heads in worship as we praise your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we bless your holy name. You deserve,
the glory
and the honor. Father, we love you, say, Lord, we...
Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to sing about the faithfulness of God. Are you ready to sing with us? We're going to sing about his faithfulness. He's such a faithful God. I've seen him show up for me in unique ways. You know, that's why I'm quite reckless when I worship. I can't do anyhow, anywhere belief is. Somebody say anywhere belief is. Are you ready to worship God with me like that? That is the kind of worship I want. So put your head. Holy Ghost. Oh, oh, oh. If the God you serve has been faithful.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. What an awesome God we serve, my brothers and sisters. Shalom. Shalom. Hallelujah. This is your brother in Christ, Brother Elvis Zapata, here with my brother Tony, live from the mountain of North Carolina. Thank you, Lord. Waiting for the Eastern tsunami up here in the mountain where we're not going to be affected practically at all. We know it's coming. Amen. Waiting on the promise of God. Hallelujah. Not just for the judgment, but also on the promise of God. Things that God said he would do, my brother and sister, before the return of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. I hope everyone can hear me fine before we begin. I believe, hallelujah, we have an important message tonight. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Want to say hello, Brother Tony?
Yeah. Yeah, God bless you. God bless you to all. Yeah, the Lord is good.
Amen. As people are logging in tonight,
yeah,
I hope everyone can log in. I know some people are having problems with the internet. Amen. But it's hallelujah. It's going to get worse before it gets better. You know? So, amen. Thank you, servant. Thank you, sister. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We serve such an awesome God. I had a great time in the Spanish program. Felt the anointing of the Lord very strong while sharing what the Lord was giving me. The Lord's given me this morning a revelation in regard to what is coming, to what will be unfolding soon, my brother and sister, near our future. There was something, two or three things that I remember seeing in the Word that the Lord showed me. There were some other things the Lord was speaking to me about last night in my prayer time with him. You know, there's so much we don't know. We just don't know. So much we don't know. And he knows everything. And of course, we're full of question. But question is good. You know, question is good. To question, to want to know by faith, not by doubt and belief, but by faith, it's good. Because it's going to help us develop our faith in the Lord. It's going to help us grow in the Lord. So that's our hope in the Lord, that we'll continue to grow. You know, we are being made into the image of Jesus. What do you think about that, Brother Tony?
Yeah, we are. We are. I'm still meditating. I've been, lately about that message that you said, that person told you in 1735, that revelation, that believe what you are in him. And that's been in me ever since. And I knew before that, but then through that revelation, it's like, you know, that hit me. It was like
confirmation.
Yeah. It's we are being, we are after, like we were talking earlier, we are being, you know, like if you want to say molding, you know, he's the potter, you know, we're the clay. So he's forming us into his image. You know, we've already been created in his image, but we need to, there's stuff in us that, you know, we have to, that, like we were saying, it's under the Lord's timing, you know. But we do have to do our part, though, which is yield to him, you know, letting him do it. Because it is a process, but as long as we're willing, you know, the Bible says if you're willing and obedient, you know, but it doesn't just say obedient, it says willing, you know, willing to let him transform us into his image, you know.
That willingness.
Yeah.
That's very important.
Yeah. And that's what got me when I was reading, I think it was Isaiah yesterday. It's that willingness to, you know, in the Lord, letting him transform us into his image. Because it's his will, you know, for us to grow in him and be more like him, you know. But we're in his hands, you know. He knows what he's doing. We just have to trust, you know.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
When you have a hear, let him who have an ear hear what the Spirit has to say. And you're listening and you're receiving. and you're looking to know more and understand. It's like it awakened that hunger in you to know the Lord. Yeah. Because on the end of the day, that is what it's all about, that you know the Lord.
Yeah.
And that hunger is what is going to get us there, to knowing more of Him who is humble and meek of heart. My brother and sister, well, welcome there, Brother Miguel. Somehow the page looks different. They did something. And I apologize, my brother and sister. Okay, thank you, Lord. Hope people can log in and listen and be blessed tonight. The Lord's given me a powerful, powerful dream this morning. When I say powerful, I consider it rated R. So like I said in the Spanish program earlier, if you have children listening tonight under 10, under 12, you may want to send them to the other room. I'll let you know later on when to do it, because the dream I received this morning was very powerful, and it's very biblical. I mean, how would you say, Brother Tony, reading the Bible and comparing it to the dream, that it made sense?
Comparing it, you mean?
Yeah, when we were comparing it, like, to what it says in Genesis 6:11-13, yeah. And then Genesis 19 about Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It really matches the intensity,
yeah,
of what the Lord showed me that very soon on the earth. It was here in the United States, but I believe this event, because I was earlier talking, actually, I was talking on the Lord Tower in Spanish, and Jesus spoke to me while I was speaking about this earthquake that's going to hit California. And the Lord, and I said Mexico, and the moment I was saying Mexico, I heard the Lord say, yes, Mexico too will be affected. And when he said it caught me by surprise, because it was between me saying it and me wanting to know, Lord, is it, because, you know, I don't want to say anything that the Lord's not telling me. Because this here, we're not guessing. We're not psychic. We are serving of the Lord, and we are speaking His word, His message, His revelation. And so we have to stick to what He's saying. So when he spoke to me during, you know, whether Mexico will be affected, he said, yes, it will be when this earthquake hit California, because I had heard another prophecy through another servant. But like I said to the people, like when that prophet said, oh, Kamala Harris will become president back in last month, January, you know, I said, this prophet said that. The Lord did not tell me, but this prophet said that. You know, we have to be specific. I said that this year, Jesus said, will not pass until this eastern tsunami, first he pointed to the earthquake in California, come to pass. So that's my word from the Lord. I take responsibility for what I have said from the Lord. So I'm speaking with what the Lord has said to me. What other people are saying, they're responsible before God. Because we each have a relationship with Him, and we hear Him, we are listening to Him. So we have to be very careful what we say. But I have said it, and I'll say it again. The Lord Jesus says to me, this year, talking about 2024, will not pass until this judgment of California and the eastern tsunami comes to pass. Okay? Now, based on what Jesus said this to me, because I don't remember saying this on the Lord's Hour, but I'm going to have to say it to him. The Lord came to me back 23 December. And Jesus says to me, my son, there's going to come the day when you are going to give a word, a day for a word that is going to come to pass, Jesus said. And I'm going to fulfill that day at the word that you are given, he says to me, which I was very shocked, very surprised at what he said. Then to when the year begins, he tells me, he shows me California. He had me point to California. Then I'm here in North Carolina. I'm down by heading either North Beach, California, or Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I knew that this was what we call Charlotte, the level part of the state of North Carolina. And I see this huge wave coming into the land that I saw people in the car try to outrun this wave, a tsunami, my brothers and sisters. And I said, the Lord shows me all that. He speaks to me and says, this year will not pass until this comes to pass, my brothers and sisters. So, again, I have a great responsibility to say this because as many people's lives are at stake here. Many lives are in danger. And after I speak, their blood is not going to be on me. It's on them. My brother, I know this is a word that is very strong in the regard to pointing to a year. But the Lord said that the time will come when I will say a time and he will look to fulfill it. This is the time now. The time has come. He knew this. He knew. And he knew that I would be obedient to say it. Because I was very nervous about it. I didn't want to say it. But then I was taken to heaven in the process of it. An angel came and took me, threw me before the heaven and said that the spoken word of God is the maximum authority. So I'm obligated to speak. I can't, like Jeremiah, I cannot say no to the Lord. He's too strong to anyone to resist him. I cannot resist the Lord. He's too powerful. He's too strong. No one can. He's almighty. So I have to speak and be obedient, my brothers and sisters. Amen. The consequence of it, we'll see. But if lives are saved, that will be great, my brothers and sisters. Now, let me show you what he showed me this morning. Let me say to you. Let me read Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. from the Complete Jewish Bible. Verse 11 said that the earth was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. This is what the Lord was showing me this morning. Our nation, this is the time when I say, if you have children under 12, please ask them to go to the next room, my brother and sister, because now we can't rate it R. Only for mature. The earth was with violence in the days to come. My brother and sister, I began to see people. Remember back in 2021 when the Lord showed me that because of the consequences of my seeing, I saw people becoming pure demon through the by seeing. Their skin and their eyes changed. They became completely black, my brother and my sister. And Jesus was there standing next to me. And he was saying to me that this will be the outcome of the Vicene. That's why they could not take the Vicene. I came back to the Lord Tower and began to explain to you, it's on the archive, what Jesus was showing to me. What the Lord explained to me. Of the outcome of the Vicene. And I caused 98, 99 of some state, even people that heard me talking about this, did not listen to me and did take the Vicene. But because the Bible said that God could not be mocked, that whatever man sow, he will reap. Jesus came, took me out of my body, took me down to hell. He showed me hundreds of thousands of people that heard me saying not to take the vaccine. That did not believe this messenger and still went and took the vaccine. They were aligned with a demon on the right and left hand after they got vaccinated, being taken to hell. Jesus wanted me to stand in front of them for them to see me. And I begged Jesus that I didn't want to do this. Jesus says, you must. And I went and stand before them, looked at their faces, and they immediately knew This is Elvis Zapata from the Lord Tower, who told us not to take the vaccine. They knew immediately they were wrong, that the decision they took was for them to be removed out of their body. My brother insisted. Sometimes I think, why don't people don't listen to certain messenger? Is it because maybe I'm Spanish? Because I'm from another country, another land? I think about the reason why it could be that some people will not even take the message serious. Shalom, Brother Michael. And why? Why is it that you would tell someone from the Lord a message that will really shake their spirit, the inside out of them from the Lord, and still they go ahead and do what the Lord says not to do? My brother and sister. And yes, pride, doubt, and unbelief are the most of the reason why people do what they do. My brother and sister. The Lord says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. He has chosen us. So who of us can say to the Lord, I don't want to be your messenger? I'm not going to speak, Lord, what you're saying, because people are going to reject me. When Jesus came to me back in 2011, to put me on this program, I said, Lord, you have people that have known the Bible better than I, people that have graduated here from colleges, university, professional, Lord, better speaker than I. Why didn't you send one of them? He says, no, because I had chosen you to send you. And I went back to the Lord, but there are people more prepared than me. He says, no, but I had chosen you. And I went back to the Lord again so many times, almost four times, that I saw in Jesus' face, he was not going to argue this with me anymore. My brother insisted. So if you think that I was not fighting my right not to be on the air, I did, but I lost. I lost my right, because he's right and I'm wrong. We're all wrong. We need him, my brother and sister. And I thank him for choosing us. Even when we didn't know the meaning of choosing you. Do you understand the meaning of you being chosen, Brother Tony?
Chosen, yeah. In part I do, but I know there's more meaning to it.
But are you grateful for it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's something that we're grateful of, you know, even though we don't fully understand it. At least I don't. I know in part, I know what it means, but I know there's more to it that being chosen is, you know, it's what can we do, you know, just be thankful, and it's goodness, you know. He chose us before we were even born, you know. He knew us, you know, he knows this, and that's why we know he has great things for us. You know, that's why we have to be thankful, because of what he has done in us. He has chosen us, you know, to serve. We were created to serve anyways, to serve him, you know. That's what we're being chosen for. It's to serve the Lord, you know, to follow him, called to know the Lord, like we said earlier, you know. We're called and chosen. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's a great privilege, you know. It's his mercy, his goodness, and we're here because of him. You know, he's the one helping us, guiding us, teaching us, you know. Amen. That's what I understand about chosen, you know. But, yeah, I know it's just a privilege.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. He is so good.
Yeah.
So this morning, the Lord, he brings me to the days to come, maybe months. And he's showing me a great multitude here in America, how people have come together as one. But it was not for the purpose of what we would think of as a Christian, to do good. It was to do evil, my brother and sister. I saw hundreds of thousands of people in the city going around certain people's homes, to abuse them, to rape them, and so much more. I could not believe my eyes what I'm watching. It was so strong what I was watching that immediately, as I came back, what is that in the Word? My brother insisted. Then I remember what the Lord said in his Word, that the earth was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. Then I keep reading, God saw the earth, yeah, it was corrupt, for all living beings had corrupt the ways on the earth. Then I keep reading verse 13, but God says to Noah, the end of all living beings had come before me. Because of them, the earth is filled with violence. Who is them? I asked. Who are they? Because in my thinking, these are the people that are doing this. Yes, these are people doing it. But it's not just the people. It's the demonic force in the people that now are making people being so violent. This is one of the end time signs that the Lord has given us that will come to pass in the last of the last days that we're in. My brother and sister, these people are demonic possessed. Then I remember what Jesus showed me back in 2021, that through the vaccine, that demon will take over people's body and will make them so wicked, so wicked, that they will become to be as one for the purpose. My brother and sister, for what purpose did they become one? Listen, in Genesis 19, Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible says, but before they could go to bed, the men of the city surrounded the house. I'm thinking, I don't remember seeing this. Because I'm watching an entire city, 60 to 80,000 people surrounding a house to abuse them physically, to rape them, to do all kinds of things to people here. My brother insisted. And I'm immediately thinking, where is that in the Bible? Where is that in the Bible? When the people came so violently and so wickedly to do this, because if you have a gun with 14 bullets and you shoot 14 at them, you're still fighting 60 people. You still are going to be beaten and abused, even though you killed 14. This is the kind of days the Lord showed me is coming to America. This evil that's going to be released upon the earth is going to take over them. And they're going to come to be one like in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know that, I didn't see this before. You know, sometimes you read the Bible, and unless the Lord let you see what you need to see, you will see. You know how togetherness these people have come, my brother and sister. Okay? But before they could go to bed, the men of the city surrounded her, young and old. My brother and sister, all these people, young and old, hundreds of thousands of them have come as one. My brother and sister. You know another thing that got to me, that the Lord showed me this morning, their nakedness. Okay? You remember when Moses comes up the mountain, he still has a tablet in his hand, Exodus 33. And what stung Moses that he stood there looking at the people? Their nakedness. Their nakedness. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah behave the same. Their nakedness. It stung Moses with a holy tablet on his chest, looking at 5 to 6 million people naked before his eyes, from young to old. What kind of spirit got hold of these people that they were all naked? Moses was so angry, he took the tablet that God had written with his own finger and broke them to pieces. And what did he do, brother?
Yeah, he did break the tablets, you know. Maybe he forgot that God was the one that gave it to him, you know. He was that angry, but it was, you know, what he was seeing, you know, cause it's what he saw. And
maybe what his take is.
Yeah. Because God had told him, you know, people go down because the people are corrupted, but, you know, he seeing it for himself was something different, you know. He didn't get angry with God up there when God told him, go down because they have corrupted, but when he saw it with his own eyes, you know, then he understood, you know, that's, you know, the corruption that God was talking about. So when he saw it, everyone was naked, and so what he did, you know, it's that, you know.
After he broke the tablet, what did he do?
Oh, yeah, he gave to, he says, the calf that they made, right? He made it. He made the people to drink of the calf that they owned.
He turned them into dust, took the water of all that, and made them drink them.
Yeah.
He acted. Can you say he acted violently? Or he acted in anger?
Yeah,
we want to use the correct word here. I mean, what do you people think in the chat room? Did Moses act violently? Or he was just in such an anger. What he's watching, what is being displaced before his eyes. How can you be so wicked? He says.
Yeah.
You know that the same word that Moses uses, Lot uses. Mm-hmm. Lot uses the same word of Sodom and Gomorrah. Moses sees them all naked. Lot sees them all naked. A lot uses the same word. When I read it, I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
Because it's the same word. Young and old, everyone of every neighborhood of Sodom. How many people is that, Brother Tony? Yeah. Everyone of every neighborhood of Sodom.
So the neighboring cities maybe, right? Those that are...
How many people is that?
It's been a lie, huh?
That's what the Lord was showing me this morning. Entire city of the United States, people coming together in violence to rape, overtake people's home, rape them with violence. Naked. I could see the private parts. They were naked. I had to repent after the revelation. But I understand what the Lord showed me. This graphic. Because when the Lord spoke to Moses in the mountain, like Brother Tony was saying, did Moses believe God, or what happened here?
I believe he did believe him. It's just, you know, he understood what God, I believe, like, he understood when he's, like, when the fullness of it, when he saw it.
Well, some people say see to believe.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess he just didn't understand, I guess, what... You know,
he didn't have a full understanding of what he's trying
to say. Yeah, and then he saw it, and then, you know, he realized, you know, what God told him. But I guess it took for him to see it. To...
Now, the Lord had promised he's going to protect us, his people. Yeah. Anyone out of line will suffer the consequence. Yeah. Anyone out of place will suffer the consequence. Because this is the work of the enemy. God is not... going to do this. They are. Because what did God say to Moses? The people have corrupted themselves. God did not do this. What God did not do that to them. God did not do that to the people in Sodom. God did not do that to the people in the times of Noah. God did not do it. But God is saying to us, who did this? And in Genesis 6:13, God is saying, because of them is Phil. Them who? The fallen one. The fallen angel had their hand in this 100% because of them. And if you look at the Bible translation like I did, because you kind of have to go into the 13 and look at it, my brother and sister, to get a better understanding. Who had their hand on this? Okay, I had decided to put an end for the creature, for the earth is filled with wickedness because of them. Again, and then wickedness because of them. Wickedness comes from the wicked one. The Bible calls the Antichrist the wicked one.
Yeah.
The devil, the wicked one. It's their work. It's the work of the devil. And these people come under the manipulation and control of the devil. And all of a sudden in America, they joined together as one to do this wickedness over people's home. And there was no police to stop them, no FBI, no CIA, no FD, no one could stop them anymore. Because when you got hundreds of thousands of people acting so violently, Barbara insisted, under the demonic possession, government cannot stop them. And the Lord showed me this, that this is about to come. This is close to come. And this is why, my brother and sister, the Lord's been speaking to some of us. He's going to take the children home, and he's going to take some of his anointed servants that he had chosen to going home early. Because this violence, certain people will not endure this violence coming. This is going to take much more than what you think. If those days will not be short in no flesh, will we save, the Bible says. It's going to get tough. It's going to get difficult. The Lord do have a plan to glorify some of us body. But it's not for us to fight the multitude. It's actually for us to help those that want to be saved, that the Lord wants to save. I want to be clear about that, because the Lord has shown that, yes, 3 days of darkness are coming, judgment and 3 days of darkness and revival, but he's not going to glorify us to fight Russia, China, or anybody. Because God says vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. His vengeance, he's going to fight. He's not chosen us to fight yet. At the end of the 7-year great tribulation, yes, we're coming to fight with the Lord. That's different. But not before, as I know, unless the Lord will speak to me and say, hey, I'm going to have you guys do this and that. But that's different, my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord. We're living in the last of the last. We're living in the last of the last, my brothers and sisters. So again, Genesis, can you read some of this, Brother Tony?
Yeah.
Four.
But before they could go to bed, the men of the city surrounded the house, young and old, everyone from every neighborhood of Sodom. They called Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to stay with you tonight? Bring them out to us. We want to have sex with them. Lot went out to them and stood in the doorway and closing the door behind him and said, please, my brothers, don't do such a wicked thing. Look here, I have...
Over there. Notice the word wicked, and the King James said wickedly. You know, using that same word that Moses said that the people have become wicked, which is the same word for evil.
Yeah.
Their action was wicked. Their action was evil at this time. And behind them are the fallen angels, making them, provoking them, persuading them, possessing them. You know, we talk about people being demonic possessed. But what about demonic? What was the other word I used besides demonic possessed? The demon becoming the person, which is now the person is in possession of the demon, like the men of the tomb, you know, where they will tie him with chains, but he will break them because he was so strong and uncontrollable. People are going to become uncontrollable, the Lord showed me in the days to come. And one of the things the Lord used was by seeing. Soon they will have no control over themselves, the demon will, and will use these people. The Lord showed me that their body will change, okay? Change where they will have complete possession of people's body, who are those that are vaccinated, and will make them do things that normally they will not do. And here in Sodom and Gomorrah and in Noah time, this is exactly what happened. I never saw this part where God said that the reason why they will do this was because of them. Verse 13. Feel what we're going to pick us up, them. Them who? Them that took them over. Them that took over the earth. The wicked, the same word that the Lord uses.
Yeah.
Because the wicked one is the Antichrist. The wicked one is Satan. The wicked ones are the fallen angel. And the wicked one had taken control of these people, my brother and sister. And now here in America, the Lord will show me all these violence that are going to show up soon and all these abuse. But they become hundreds of thousands of them as one. And you can have all kinds of gun and shotgun in your house, whatever, which I'm sure God don't want you to have because you're going to shoot some of these people. And you will kill some of them. Or you might not. The question is, can you kill them? And the answer may be, maybe you may not. Because it will be completely demonic taking over. So the question is, if you may injure them or may shoot at them and not kill them, you might make things worse. So the best thing is to have the Lord who said to us, I will protect you in the days to come, my children. I will be with you. I will deliver you. My brother and sister, the test will come in the days to come. Who are listening to the Lord? Who is in obedience with the Lord? Because the protection of the Lord will be with those that are being obedient. But the disobedient, this multitude going around the city, are going to take them over and take everything they have and abuse them. This is so close to begin. You can already see the violence in the border. You can already see Biden getting the army ready. And the governor of Texas getting himself ready, getting the Navy ready. Everybody's getting ready for something. The vaccine will intensify, and they will have no control over themselves. This has been planned by the wicked one, by the evil one. My brother insisted. People think that everything will continue to be in the same as it's been. They're forgetting what Jesus said, that it will be like in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, this is Luke 17:20 says, show us to be in the days of the Son of Man. You and I are living in the days of the Son of Man, of Jesus Christ. These are his days. Because he purchased everything at the cross. These are his days, my brother and sister. Because we all belong to him. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they gave into marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark, the flood came and destroyed them all. My brother and sister. They share here together everything. Okay? Who in the world share their wife? Nobody. Why are they acting this way? Because it's a different attitude. It's a different humanity. They marry wives. Wait a minute. By the law, you're only supposed to marry one. Why are they having more than one? My brother, it's a corruption of marriage. My brother and sister, they're giving into marriage. Take her. Until no other, into the ark. It's a different thing than what we know now. You marry someone legally, one person, it will be completely different. The days to come, it's things are, everything is going to change. It's going to be different. When the Lord showed me last night, this multitude of people breaking into people's home to where violently to rape and abuse his family without anyone care. One thing the Lord allowed me to hear from them was that they were saying to each other, are we all together in this? In the entire population, the entire city, they all said at once, we are all in it together. We're in it, my brother and sister. Same as the population, hallelujah, of law. Law said, please, my brother, don't do such a wicked thing. He says, look here, I have two daughters that are virgins. Please let me bring them out to you, and you can do with them what seems good to you. But don't do anything to these men. Since they are guests in my house, stand back, they reply. This guy came to live here, and now he decided to play judge, they were saying to Noah. Notice how they're contradicting what the good men of God, what the fearing men of God is saying to them. They're contradicting. Shalom, Sister Carla. The contradicting argument that they're bringing, the politically rightness of them in this, it what tells you that these people will have their mind made up for what they're going to do. And no one is going to convince them otherwise. No one is going to change their mind to not believe in what they're going to do. You're not going to change their mind. No one is changing their mind. They have decided in themselves, Shalom, Brother Joseph, that this is what they're going to do. And this is it. This is why when you make up your mind for Christ, when you have made your heart for Jesus, you have to be sure that that's what you want. That no one is going to change your mind. No one is going to change your heart to serving the Lord. You have to be 100% sure. You cannot be doubting. Because in the days to come, your faith is going to be tested to the core of your being. Your faith in the Lord, show me, is about to be tested through this time coming. Where if you are a true Christian of the Lord, you will remain faithful to the Lord. But if you are not, you are going to fall. And you say, I'm going to have to defend myself. I'm not going to let people take my money, take my wife, or take what I have, or do this, or that. I'm going to defend myself. I'm going to kill them. And the people will take that attitude because they have no faith in the Lord and take vengeance upon themselves. Like I saw a man with a shotgun, a box full of bullets next to his window, a shotgun through his window sitting in his house. Anyone that will come to his house, I see him shooting them. I saw several people injured in the floor that he has shot with his gun. He said, no one is taking my food. This food is for he and my family that I have saved. Anyone come close to my house, I'm going to shoot them. And he was shooting anyone that would try to get close to it. But that didn't stop people from trying to take his food anyway. But he kept shooting them down. He knew where to hit them that they could not walk anymore. And he was a good shooter, my brother and sister. But see, that's when you have your faith in the Lord that will take care of you. Our faith is about to be tested in days to come. This is why if you make your heart for the Lord, if you're giving your life to Jesus, you cannot be flowing in the air like you have no God. You have to make firm. You got to keep your weekly fasting, your everyday prayer with the Lord, your commitment with him cannot change. Or you will be easily moved in the day to come. And change your mind and run and get the bicing and join these people that are wicked. That's what's going to happen with a lot of people that are wavering like the water of the sea back and forward because they have not made the decision yet for the Lord. The Lord tell them where to go, where to be, and they're going around in circles like the children of Israel in the wilderness who did not make it to the promised land because their faith was not firm in the Lord. They did not make it. They die in the wilderness. Either by the bidding of the snake or by the earth opening up and swallowing them because they were wavering in their faith. There's a lot of people wavering today that will not make it. You cannot waver with your faith. You have to make your decision for the Lord now and be firm about it and be willing to die for Jesus, willing to give up your life for him. Because if you try to save your life to go get the vaccine, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for him and for the kingdom, you will save it. You need to understand. You need to understand that your decision is final. We're living in the final days. Your decision has to be final for the Lord. Cannot waver. The Lord showed me this last time and it shook me this morning. I'm sorry. Seeing all these people naked like Moses with a tablet on his chest. Could not believe what he was seeing. Could not believe his brother Aaron did this. Why have you brought this wickedness upon the people? He says to Aaron. Like Aaron was the one that told him, everybody take off your clothes and be naked. He didn't say that. He didn't do that. The Aaron told them to get naked. It was not Aaron. It was the demon who convinced them in their mind that nakedness was okay, was fine before the Lord. And to be with one another, even though they were not married, it was fine. The demon convinced them. It was the demon that took wife unto themselves from the daughters of men and began to give the bad example of having more and more and more of them. And when the children saw that their parents were taking more women and more women as wife, oh, it's okay to have multiple women as wife. Now this is happening. Now laws are being approved where men can marry crocodile, dog, and all kinds of animals. My brother and sister, these laws are going to go around every single state and be approved, a multiple partner. My brother and sister, in the days to come. Is that okay with God? It's an abomination of destruction coming upon fire. How did God cleanse Sodom and Gomorrah? What was the cleansing method Father used that he will use again? Whether people believe it or not, fire. I don't think there have been other tools that God has given us to cleanse anything like fire or the blood of the Lord. But fire will be the cleansing method again, my brother and sister, upon the earth. Hallelujah. But in order for you to be saved from that fire, you better be under the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, my brother and sister. Again, stand back, they reply. This guy came to live here, and now he decided to play judge. For, well, we deal worse with you than with them. Look what they said to Lot. We will deal worse with you than with them. Now the guest that they wanted, the angel, was not enough. Let's kill Lot and him. And, of course, his family was going to be there with him. And the worst. You think Lot was going to escape? If the Lord did not deliver Lot, Lot would have fallen in the hand. But God said he will preserve the righteous, says the Lord. He will protect the righteous, says the Lord. And Lot was righteous before the Lord. And that's the promise of God to you and I. He will protect the righteous. He will protect his people. The Bible says, so the Lord know how to save his own. There was the Lord protecting Lot from these wicked ones, the demonic people. And then they crowded in the law. What does that mean, Brother Tony? They crowded in the law.
And then they crowded in, not Lot. So, like surrounding him, right?
Yes. This was not two or three persons. This was a multitude of city, like Chicago, like New York, like Los Angeles, surrounding this one person who had two guests, who had two daughters, who had his wife. How many is that, Brother Tony?
It's four, right? Five.
Two daughters, his wife, four, six people. How did hundreds of thousands of people surrounded a house of six people, kicking the door to break in and take these people without any mercy, with violence. My brother and sister, with violence. That's what the Lord was showing me this morning, that America is going to become to. With violence, they're going to take over your house. They're going to take over your property. And there was nothing you will be able to do unless you have the Lord as your protector, unless you have the Lord as your shield. Unless the Lord is your shield, you will not be able to stop this multitude of angry people who's coming with violence to break your door and abuse you. I don't want to say the word, but my dear brother, my dear sister, if you think because you are a brother, they're not going to do to you what they will do to a woman, they will do it. That's what I saw this morning that I cannot describe by word. I'm having a hard time talking about it because these people were naked. Demonic people, possessed people. My brother and sister, that seems to me like no one was going to stop them by God. By God. My brother and sister. And again, they cried a lot in order to get close enough to break down the door. Did this sound to you that these people were only angry? Did they sound to you like they were just only angry, but it's only...
That's like rage, right? Whenever you lose control.
They were going to break down the door. Yeah. This is like a taking over. Take down the house. Let's break down the door. But the man inside reached out their hand, brought light into the house of them, and shut the door. Man, did these angels imitate Father?
Yeah.
Do they imitate Father? I think that they remember how Father dealt with them in the times of Noah. And so Father shut in the door, keeping them out. Man, the angel, let's do what Father did. Let's just shut this door. Shut the door. My brother and sister. Then they struck the man at the door of the house with blindness. Perfect. Because see, here, you got to see here. God says in his word, vengeance and mindset, the Lord. And these angels are being careful that they're not breaking God's commandment. They're not taking vengeance on the people. In other words, they're not cutting heads. They're not cutting arms. They're not cutting legs. They're not putting a knife over their chest. None of that they're doing. They're only going to give them a little blindness. So these people cannot see them coming out of the house. Maybe like a temporary blindness. Bible says blindness, but I imagine this blindness was temporarily. Because they could not harm them. Because banging his mind, says the Lord, is up to God to judge his people, to bring his judgment. So the angel in none of us can take banging in our hand when Peter went and cut the ear of the soldier. What did Jesus say? Peter, put back thy sword. Hallelujah. Because him that killed by the sword will die by the sword. Cannot do that. Because banging is of the Lord. At that very moment, if the Lord did not heal the ear of the soldier, Peter will have to die. But in God's grace, God had a plan with Peter. So Jesus immediately, without thinking about it, grabbed the piece of ear of the soldier, put it back, healed it. Boom, it's done. What can they accuse Peter of? The soldier's ear was healed again completely. Hey, no problem. What's the problem? Then Peter was able to walk away without being thrown in jail and killed. My brothers and sisters. So again, God uses that example as Peter, that the Lord can deliver us even from our own mistake, because that was a mistake that Peter made. My brother and sister. Because Peter was willing to die for Jesus. He told Jesus, I'm willing to die for you. Although Peter was still not perfect, he was still on his walk with the Lord. And denying the Lord three times, but cried bitterly. Bitterly, the Bible says. And the Lord forgiven Peter. He said, forgiving God. As long as you and I repent, we are forgiven in him. His blood is sufficient. My brothers and sisters, the problem is when we stay and we continue, he wants us to stop, repent, turn to him for help. Whatever you're struggling with, you know how you deal with it? Turn to Jesus for help. Don't stay there justifying yourself. Turn to Jesus for help. Say, Lord, I'm struggling with drugs. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. Help me, Jesus. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. Help me, Jesus. Repent day and night. Repent day and night. Cry out to him and say, help me, Jesus. And the Lord will be there for you. He can be there for you 24 hours a day. We men cannot. I'm sorry, we cannot, but the Lord can. be there for you 24 hours a day. Not miss an hour to being with you through your heart, through the glorious day of your life. Jesus will be there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Again, they struck the man at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so they could not find the door. It was the reason why, so they could not find the door. So the man can walk away through the door. It was not to punish them. It was not to make sure they go to hell. None of that. God was going to take care of this little problem. This is a little problem for God. Yeah. My brothers and sisters. So the man said to Lot, do you have any people here beside yourself? However, okay, you have a city. You have in the city son-in-law, your sons and your daughters. He says, bring them out of this place because we're going to destroy it. Adonai have become aware of the outcry against them. Adonai has sent them to destroy it. Lot went out and spoke with his sons-in-law who had married daughters and said, go, let's get up and leave the place. But Adonai is going to destroy the city. But his sons-in-law didn't take him seriously. Now, how do you deal with this, Brother Tony? Yeah. You're giving them a word of destruction, but people don't want to take you seriously. What do you say?
The angels were the ones that, you know, they were like urgent on their word, you know, because they were just given the word, but Lot was the one that, he believed. I'm sure the rest of the other ones that were in the house probably didn't take it serious as he did. It says right there, Lot went out and spoke with his sons-in-law who had married his daughters, right? Get up and leave, yeah. So Lot was, you know, he understood what was happening, you know, the reason for all that was going on. Probably the other ones didn't understand it, or I don't know, they didn't, you know, I guess weren't walking by faith. But Lot, for me, for what I can understand, Lot, he was the one that was on. You know, the understanding.
It seems to me that Lot had a problem that I have in the last days about people taking me seriously.
Yeah.
You know, Isaiah has the same problem. Jesus had the same problem. Moses had the same problem. David had the same problem about people taking them seriously.
Yeah.
And I have the same problem. We have a problem about people taking us seriously. My brother and sister. Even when you're trying to preserve their lives, you know, they don't want to take you seriously. What do you mean God said until this year will not be over until this happened? That's what I heard the Lord say. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Tuesday night, God willing. You know, I know it somewhere may sound strange, but when you hear the Lord say something, you have to say it because that's what he wants me to do.
Yeah.
Say it. It's not my word. His. My brother and sister. And one day I can be with him in heaven and say, Lord, why did you have me say that word? Why? Hallelujah. And the Lord is merciful. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's merciful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So again, and when the morning came, the angel told Lot, hurry, get up. And so what does that mean to hurry up, Brother Tony? When the angel say hurry to Lot.
Yeah, that was quick, like now, right?
Yes.
As soon as you can, you know, kind of like as soon as possible, you know, that's what that means, yeah, hurry.
We need to hurry.
Yeah.
And people say, I don't like to be in a rush. We need to hurry to repent. We need to hurry to seek the Lord. We cannot be like before putting it off, putting off repenting, putting off our commitment with the Lord. We are in a time that is extremely dangerous, and people around us are being changed into demonic things. Through the Bicene. How do you take that lightly? You cannot take it lightly. my brothers and sisters, there are things that people are taking lightly that they're not supposed to take lightly. They need to hurry. The angel understanding the plan of God said to Lot, hurry. Get up. In other words, hurry and get an up, Lot. Lot, you need to get up in a hurry. Listen, if you have fallen into sin, you need to get up in a hurry. You cannot put off repenting and fasting and prayer and being in the Word. Get up in a hurry if you've been in sin. Commit to the Lord with all your heart. Every day, every morning, every day, day and night. And if you can pray day and night, pray day and night. If you can fast day and night, fast day and night. Because God will change your life through it. The Lord will make you new. Because he makes all things new. If you come to him, he'll make you new again. He'll make you a new creation. He'll make you a new creature through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is time. Hurry. Hurry and get up. That's what it starts to law. And they said, take your wife and your two daughters who are here. Otherwise, you will be swept away with the punishment of the city. Huh? You're telling a Christian that will be swept away? My God will not do that to me, some people say. My God will not do that to me. Let's read the Bible again.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the words. Because it was written for our example. Is it doesn't say?
Yeah, for example, yeah.
It was written for our example. When the morning came, the angel told Lot to hurry and get up, they say. Take your wife and your two daughters who are here. Otherwise, how do you explain otherwise, Brother Tony? Help me out.
Otherwise, like kind of like saying, well, if you don't obey, you know, like we're telling, because he was telling them now, do it now, or like, cause, like doubting, kind of like if he was to like doubt and tarry longer, because that would be disobedience anyways.
You were using only the word well, remember?
Yeah, willing. Yeah.
Explain a little bit about willing, because that was really good.
Yeah, it's kind of like willing to please God, willing to do what God is saying to you. You know, it's just willing to just serve the Lord, you know, and just willing to please him.
Thank you, Lord.
Know? Willing to just please him and what you do and not just doing it, you know, by because you have to, but it's because you want to please him, you know, you want to.
But you know, it pleases the Lord when you willingly seek him.
Yeah.
Because no one is making you do it, not even the Lord. You're willingly seeking him. You're willingly repenting. That pleases the Lord.
Yeah.
Because that's what Hebrew 11:6 says, that without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Yeah.
For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he daily, or daily seek him, which is mean daily.
Yeah.
And then that dailiness, that willingness is what God is looking for.
Yeah.
That's what Noah has. How come Noah consecrated himself amongst all the heathen? Amongst everybody mocking him, he consecrated himself. He lived a righteous life. How did Lot, where everyone being gay and homosexual around him, live had a righteous marriage, had a righteous life before God, amongst everybody being gay? How did he do that? Commitment to his Lord, commitment to his God. You don't do what they do. You do what God wants you to do, because you know the Lord said, be thou holy, because I am holy, and without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Simple. He is holy. He's demanding holiness from you and I, and what do? We seek to be in what he is, because that's what pleases him. Lord, help me to be holy like you, Jesus. Perfect like my Father who is in heaven, and humble like the Holy Spirit, I pray. Very important. Tell the Lord to ask to help you to be holy like he is. to be perfect like your Father who's in heaven and humble like the Holy Spirit. And watch what happened. Cry out to him and say, Lord, please. Okay? Lord, please. Lord, please, I want to be holy like you. Tell us, Sister Wendy. It's very important, my brother and sister, that you tell the Lord you want to be like him. Because when you ask the Lord for help, you are going to encounter a fountain of oil and power and anointing available for you. But you will not encounter that until you ask him for help. Asking the Lord for help is humility. Not asking the Lord for help is pride, my brothers and sisters. It's pride. As long as you are in your knees asking, crying out for the Lord for help, that's humility. That's the one that is great in heaven. That humble servant crying out to the Lord Jesus for help, that's the great one in heaven. But that one saying how good he is, but not humbling himself, he is the lowest in heaven. My brother and sister. That's why people don't understand. How can God have chosen me when I'm just a servant? All I do is cry out in his presence and read his word, fear his word, and just seek him and love him. That's the greatness in heaven. My brothers and sisters. That's the great man. That's the great woman in heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That glorifies him. That praised him. Thank you, Jesus. So when the morning came, the angel told Lord to hurry and get up. They say, take your wife and your daughter who are here. Otherwise, you will be swept away at the city. Well, this contradicts the people that say, save or we save.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it contradict the people that say, always save? Because the angels are telling him to hurry up to get up. Hurry up and get out and leave this place. Otherwise, what were you saying? If?
Yeah.
If?
Otherwise, yeah. If you don't, kind of saying if you don't do it, you know, soon.
Can you imagine people say, wait a minute, I'm saved, always saved.
That won't work there. No.
I'm saved, always saved, they say, right? Well, the angel say, otherwise you will be swept away. Imagine people say, where's your biblical proof that I will be swept away? I'm a righteous man of God. I'm saved, always saved. Well, it seems to me like this doesn't apply there, right?
No, it don't.
A love could be swept away. What does that say?
Yeah, that's dear to God, you know. Fearing the Lord and relationship with God, it tells you that you just have to be close to the Lord. You just have to love the Lord more than anything else, you know. In that case, you know, how can, like, Lot, you know, just simply obey what the angels are telling you because they're coming from God. Practically, that's the word of the Lord to him through his angel. So that's, you know, that's the command of the Lord. So if he was to not hurry, that'd be considered disobedience, you know, and Lot's part, because that's coming from the Lord, you know.
Since the Bible says that Lot was righteous.
Yeah.
And they're telling Lot to get away or he will be swept.
Yeah.
That contradicts the save or we save.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Now, they will say, well, they meant that he will be saved, but if he kills, he's still saved. What do you think?
I believe he would have been, you know, for sure, you know, but his body, you know, of course, would have died, but they still would have been, you know, back then it was Abraham's bosom, but still, you know, saved.
And again, I'm sorry for the word tonight that is so strong I had to give out.
Yeah.
It's a strong word. That's why I asked you to, it's rated R. Remove your children from where you are. And my brother and sister, this is coming in days to come. My brother and sister, salvation is personal between us and the Lord. The Lord knows how to protect his. I believe the word is how to. The Lord knows how to what was the word, Brother Tony?
The Lord knows how to deliver his own.
Deliver his own. That's the word. The Lord knows how to deliver his son, how to protect his own. Okay? He knows how. My brother and sister, he knows how to protect his own. That's why his own needs to be obedient to the Lord. See what I'm saying? Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, again, I gave the warning. If some people think it's too strong, I had to give. I saw these people naked in the days to come, breaking into people's home to abuse them. I don't want to use the word. Okay? Here in America, hundreds of thousands of people to one home. I thought it was gross. I thought it was... But since the Lord is the one showing me this, I have to see, so I have to share. It's not his will that anyone will perish. Not his will. It's not his will for his people to go through. He'll protect his own. But the rest of the people that are not giving the light to Jesus, as he's calling them to repentance, are going to go through a very difficult time. Okay? You think it was easy for Moses to have a holy tablet on his chest and see everybody naked? You think it was easy for Lot to have all these men breaking through his door to try to take him over? You think it was easy for Noah to see the same thing that these other people saw? It was not easy for them. But God protected Noah and his family. God protected Lot and his family. God protected his own people. But God says to rule. God is telling us to be obedient, to consecrate ourselves, to stay where he wants us to stay, my brother and sister. Very important. Very, very important. But he delayeth. But he delayeth. This is law now. So that the man took hold of his hand, okay, and his wife's hand, and his two daughters, and Adonai was being merciful to him and let them living outside the city. Now, explain this, Brother Tony. What happened here?
So he was tearing, you know, in other words, but the Lord says he was being merciful. So it's the angels that said that the angels were the ones that as soon as they got Lot out of the city, that's when the fire would come immediately, you know, so... It was.
But since that law delayed, what's going on here? He delayed.
Yeah, it's. I'm guessing it was because of the others, because it seems to me like he was obeying. He was ready to obey, but since he had other people that were probably struggling, and he was probably trying to help him, you know, and so that.
But you see, Brother Tony, that if it's not by the mercy of the Lord,
merciful, yeah.
If it's not by the mercy of the Lord, yeah. we won't make it. We won't make it. Because one thing with that is that we love to delay.
Yeah.
Adonai was being merciful to him and let them, thank you, Lord, for leading us, leaving them outside the city. Okay? And when they have brought them out, he said, flee for your life. Don't look behind. Don't stop anywhere in the plane. But escape to the hill. Otherwise, you will be swept away and lost unto them. Please, no, my Lord. What happened here? Was law in the business of delaying and contradicting everything? What's going on here? What's all the delaying and contradicting here? How merciful is the Lord. How merciful is the Lord.
Yeah, it does say the Lord had to, you know, it's kind of like you said the other day, kind of like pushing him, right? You know, it's like you're right, you know, it's by his mercy because we tend to, like you said, we tend to delay, we tend to, could be at any reason, you know, it can be.
It's not by mine, not by power, my spirit is the Lord.
Yeah.
So he gave him that Israel. Push.
Yeah, he had to help him because he was struggling himself, you know, a lot.
My Lord, my God.
Yeah.
So don't look behind. Don't stop anywhere in the plane, but escape to the hill. Otherwise, you will be swept away. Again, the warning of being swept away.
Yeah.
The warning of the Lord to us to be ready, to stay in obedience, to continue to seek him, because there's a flood coming, and God don't want to swept people away. People in the eastern part of the United States are being given a warning. If you don't commit yourself to the Lord, if you are not what the Lord wants you to be, you will be swept away. You will be swept away. Is that the will of the Lord for your life? No. Lot was told what to do, or he will be swept away. Twice the warning came to him. Adonai, the Lord is being merciful to Lot. The Lord is being merciful to us. But if we're not obedient, we can be swept away. That's the word here. If we're not obedient, the Lord says to me and show me, if you go down to the plain of North Carolina when this come, with your family, you may be swept away. And I remember I was by the beach. I remember. And I saw a wave of tsunami over 200 feet tall. My brother and sister. But in that revelation, the Lord showed me, he had empowered me to rebuke the wave. Where I stopped, I saw people trying to escape the wave. And I said to my family, stay behind me. I raised my hand, and I stopped the water, over 200 foot of water above me, about all of us. The water cannot kill us because I have my hand toward the water, ordering the water not to come over us. And I began to tell the people behind me, let's walk back slowly until we can get away. But the warning is, my brothers and sisters, we need to be what God is telling us to be like law, or we may be swept away. That's the warning. That's to the hill. Otherwise, you will be swept away. Where are we? We are in the hill of North Carolina. The Lord is having us. Where Lot was supposed to be, we are today in the hill of North Carolina to escape the tsunami, the eastern tsunami that is coming through this land. First, the earthquake in California, he pointed me to. The judgment through California, which will come also with tsunami. Earthquake and tsunami, and then the eastern tsunami follow. Or we will be swept away for disobedience. Now, the warning to my brothers and sisters in California, you pray, you fast, you ask the Lord what he wants you to do, either to move or stay there and go through the judgment. The Lord can preserve you if he wants you there. As the Lord can move you and preserve you still, or the Lord can take you home through that judgment. What is the Lord saying to you? You need to have a word from the Lord. It's always the way the Lord's been with his people. What is the Lord saying to you? What is the Lord showing you in dream? You that are in California. You that are in Florida. You that are in Atlanta. In Virginia. In Washington. New Jersey. New York. Massachusetts. Pennsylvania. What is the Lord saying to you? Do you have a word for the Lord to stay where you are, that he will protect you? Or the Lord is saying to you to move. Move already. Like law, or you will perish. Go to the mountain, or you will be swept away. The Lord, the angel said to law from God, go to the hill. Go. This Bible says hill. The other Bible says mountain. Go to the mountain. Law, go to the mountain, law. Or you will be swept away. Same thing God is saying to us. Go to the mountain, people. To us here in North Carolina, you will be swept away. The Lord even says to me, if you buy a house where it's not high enough from the water coming into the city, your house will be flooded. And show me a few months ago. So even to buy a house here, we need to ask the Lord for direction and guidance. Because we can buy a house where it can be flooded. And when the house is flooded, you know what happened? Everything can be damaged inside. Word to the wise. Ask the Lord to lead you and guide you, my brothers and sisters. Why is the Lord waking people so early in the morning to warn them, to let them know? It's important what the Lord is saying, my brothers and sisters. It's important what he's saying to us in the last days. Thank you, Lord. Lord said to them, please, my Lord, hear, my servant already found favor in your sight. It has shown me even greater mercy by saving my life. But I can't escape to the hill, to the mountain, because I'm afraid of the disaster that will take me, and I will die. What is he talking about here, Brother Tony? What disaster? God is telling him he will be protected in the mountain, but he's worried about a disaster. Other disaster? What disaster?
Like wild animals, maybe.
Could be.
Is it the only thing I can think of that he was afraid of? Because he would have been safe, you know, where the angel told him, you know, the hills, which was somewhere outside the city, Sodom, you know. So he would have been safe there.
But so far, they saved his life, he says. But now he's afraid of going to the mountain. Is that what's happening with a lot of people that the Lord has sent here up to the mountain in North Carolina and they have not come yet? Are they afraid of something, Brother Tony, that I don't know, that I'm not aware? So, I mean, we have backcasts, but not a lot, right? And the city keeps them under control. What if we have, well, we have bear, some part of the mountain have bear, but they're not around everywhere attacking people neither. All that are under control. Anything else I'm not aware of?
I don't know. I just know that here in Nashville, it's about 2,000 feet above sea level.
There you go.
But down further, like Charlotte, I know that's very low sea level. You know, it's
people in Orlando, Miami, all those places are tremendous dangers.
Yeah. So it really, I'm sure that's what some people look at. Like this state, you know, is a coast state. You know, touches the coast, but then again, we have the mountains here, but I don't know. That's all I can think of. It's
the law was afraid of something up in the mountain.
Yeah,
you see, he says that he was afraid of a disaster. Was this like a mental fear or something?
Might be, yeah, because that's the first thing that comes to mind. For example, if he goes to the mountain, he says, "Well, I have nothing with me to protect me with," you know, that meant that mentality.
Not having guns. And,
yeah, that mentality, immediately fear, you know, fear of.
I mean, was law from Texas that he needed to have guns?
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying is, I know that a gun is part of the Constitution rights, right? And some people fear that they have to have guns. And law sounds like he had to have a gun to go up to the mountain. But see, under the protection of the Lord, I don't think you have to worry about that. What do you think? Do you have to have guns?
For us now, no. I believe, like you mentioned earlier, it's best, and you know, because if you think about it, it's the anointing itself will teach you, like the Bible says, and you know, having a gun, it's not a fearing God is not a good idea, because either someone next to you can use it, and then you'll be held against it because you're the one that, you know.
Came that killed by the sword would die by the sword, Jesus said.
Yeah, so just it's best to, you know, just like you were talking earlier, it's just being under the protection of the Lord. That's the best way to, for us, that's the best way to go, you know.
Maybe in Sodom, his constitutional right was for him to have a gun. And in all this mess, he probably left his gun locked up in his house because he had to run out.
Yeah.
You know? And so I was out his gun. And now he's telling the angel that he's afraid to have to go out to the mountain because something a disaster will overtake him. Could it be that the fire coming down from heaven over Sodom and Gomorrah created a fear in his mind to be so afraid of going up to the mountain in obedience to God? Because a lot of people are having this problem now. A lot of people are talking to me about fear that they have. I don't know if I want to move to Asheville because of this, because of that. and they have created in their mind a fear like law to going out to the mountain that is actually leading them to disobedience, brother.
Yeah.
This fear that they have to come up to the mountain is leading them to disobedience to God. And when the enemy can do this in our lives and create a mental fear, an imaginary fear in our mind, in our lives, you're going to have to repent and rebuke that fast. Lord, set me free from this because I want to be obedient to you, Lord. This fear cannot be a God if it's leading you to disobedience to God. And the consequence of that fear that you have, do you allow the enemy to create in your mind? Even for a second you thought about this fear, then the enemy took advantage of those thoughts in your mind, of that thinking, and amplify those thinking of fear. And now you're acting upon it like God is the one, you know, allowing you to go through this. My brother and sister, but God is not a God of fear. What the Bible says about God and fear, Brother Tony?
Yeah, it's all over the Bible.
He's not giving out a spirit of fear.
Yeah, not a spirit. He's not giving a spirit of fear, but a power of love, you know, and self-control. And, you know, that's the Holy Spirit. That's why we cannot do anything outside of you know, of the Holy Spirit, of God. You know, it's where we have to, under the Holy Spirit, we have the fear of God in us, and we have everything that we need. You know, under the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and so that tells you that alone tells you we can't do nothing on our own self, because our own self is our flesh, and our own flesh, the Bible says, the desires of the flesh is death. You know, is worldly, so it's from down here. But when we, that's how you know fear. It's not. Because it really is this way, and this is a truth that, you know, it's for all of us. And it's, and I heard this a long time ago, and I'm still, and it's, they say the fear is, when we have fear, is it's like we're giving, the way this person said it was, and I knew it was true, she said having fear is like worshiping Satan, because that's his kingdom. You know, and so to me, that was hard to get, because we don't want to do that. You know, that's abomination. You know, that's, we don't want to do that.
What's the song, Fear, You Don't Own Me?
What's that?
There's a song that says, Fear, You Don't Own Me.
Oh, yeah.
Who's that? Who sings that song?
I don't know. I've heard a lot of songs about you know, not fear. Fear is a liar. And
yeah, I believe that's what fear is, a liar.
Yeah, just trying to intimidate, you know, but it is lying, you know, trying to. Because that's the enemy. That's his number one weapon that he has. I believe it's his number one weapon that he has against human beings, is fear. You know, it's because it's kind of like, I don't know. It really is, though. The worst thing that we can have is fear.
I thank God to one time, Sister Amy talked about this, and she talked about fear, that we should not fear. And being delivered of fear, in which I sought the Lord about it. And man, that there was fear in me of things that the Lord delivered me of. And let me tell you, truly, sometimes we don't make decision right. It's because of fear. Or we don't take step because of fear of certain things. Even when God's telling you, do this, do that, you allow fear to steal the blessing of doing this or that.
Yeah.
And I began to repent and ask the Lord to take all fear of the enemy from my life. And what a blessing that was. I really thank Sister Amy for that, because she was the one talking about it at one time. And it blessed me. And now I understand that certain people have so much fear that their decision that they should make, the even decision to move and go somewhere the Lord wants them to come, and they haven't done it because of fear. What happened if I go there? What happened if it's all fear that the enemy is creating in their mind?
Yeah,
because if they do, they'll be blessed. The Lord will provide. more than what they will need. It's what the Lord Jesus says to me. I'm going to provide to you more than what you're going to need. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. He will be faithful. Hallelujah to you and I when we take the step of doing what he's asking us to do. Certain people should already been here, but because of that fear, they haven't made that step, and they don't know the blessing that the Lord has for them that they're missing. My brother and sister, don't do that anymore. Verse 20, look, there a town nearby to flee, and a small one. Please let me escape there. Isn't just a small one. And in that way, I will stay alive. You know, this is when God knows what's best for you, but you think you know what's best for you. Isn't that how it sounds?
Yeah.
When God knows, God knows, God knows. He knows.
Yeah, I don't know.
God knows what's best for us. But here's our saying to God, well, this is more place here. Let me go there. You know, and he's, okay, pleading to go there. So he replied, all right. See, that all right, it doesn't sound all right to me. What do you think, Brother Tony?
No, it's not. It doesn't sound, because with what God told you at first is the best way to go. kind of like, I don't know, it reminds me of Balaam. God told him first to do this, and then God allowed, you know, because it was his, what was it in his heart. That reminds me of this here. Mm-hmm. God is allowing it, you know. But the perfect will of God was the first thing he told him, you know. But then...
But he kept insisting.
Yeah.
He kept persisting in his disobedience.
Yeah.
Because that's really what he did. He persisted. Do we do that? Because if you do that, you need to repent. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Yes, the Lord talked to me about buying an RV. He said I should be buying an RV. I'm going to buy an RV very, very soon. I tell you, I will buy an RV. The Lord said that I should buy an RV. It's going to help us and bless us. Amen? So that's a confirmation. So he replied, all right, I agree to what you have asked. I won't overthrow the city which you have spoken. Brother Stone, it sounds to me like the Lord was going to overthrow the city that he asked for.
Yeah, he did say.
Because he said, I won't overthrow it, so he had planned to.
Yeah, he was going
to. Oh, that doesn't sound good, Brother Tony.
Mm.
This doesn't sound good because right now he's making God change his mind.
Yeah.
That's not good. Which he has spoken, hurry, escape to the place, because I can do anything until you're right there. For the reason the city was named Soar, or Soar, small.
Yeah.
By the time Lot had come to Soar, the sun had risen over the land. Adonai caused sulfur and fire to rain down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Adonai out of the sky overthrew the city, the entire plain and all the inhabitants of the city, everything growing in the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a column of salt. You know, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about this column of salt. Okay? Because Jesus says in Revelation, you know, I wanted to bring a message about the stone and the column. But this reading the Lord gave me this morning was so important that I wanted to stay with that. This Tuesday night, God willing, I'm going to go into the stone and the column. Now, I've been preaching about Iran, and there's so much about Iran also in my Tuesday Bible study that I didn't want it to come out of that, because I believe there's things Iran is going to do in the days to come. You know, a lot of people, 3 years ago and 4 years ago in the Lord's Hour, I began to bring Bible study about Iran. A lot of people questioned me and said that Iran was not important. Why did I keep talking about Persia and Iran, where Iran was nothing? And now that Iran had hit 160 targets of the U.S. in the Middle East, And you know, Iran has 1,000 target planned to hit in the days to come. Iran has hit 160 target of U.S. in the Middle East. And it has planned 1,000 target in the next day to come to hit. And people say Iran was not important when I came 4 years ago on the Lord's Hour talking about Iran. Because I see in the Bible what's going to happen in regard to Iran. Now, I wanted to continue that Tuesday night, and bring more about Iran and leave this other stone in column for maybe Sunday. Maybe that's what I will do. Because what's going to happen in the days to come about Iran before it comes, I really want to say it on the Lord's Hour, before it comes, because before the 160 target hit last week and the week before, I was talking about Iran before that, and then it came to pass. So before it comes to pass, I want to continue speaking about these things, my brother and sister, because the Lord showed me that Iran is going to be the nation that's going to bring down the United States. Okay, so I believe it's important. I believe Iran is important because Iran will be the nation that will bring down this nation. And it will start with the Biden administration, the Lord showed me. Through the Biden administration. That's why I don't want to stop the Bible study. Because the information that people are going to learn in them is going to help them understand what's going to happen in the days to come. Through the Bible, the Word of God. My brother and sister, they have 1,000 targets they're going to hit. And the Antichrist, the Chol Iman, which I'm going to talk about on Tuesday night, is in Iran right now standing. Right now, the Lord show it to me. What we call the Antichrist, the Mahdi, is standing in Iran today meeting with all the leaders of Iran. And they're planning to hit 1,000 targets. Remember, I get my information from the Lord. Then sometimes I turn on the news and I see the what's happening. Everything the Lord has been showing me is coming to pass. And then I see everything in the Bible, my brother and sister. So I was planning to go back to Iran in the Bible, Persia, and bring what the Bible says and show you Iran will be the nation that will bring down the U.S., down financially, bring down them militarily. They have a plan. They have the missile. They got the weapon. They're going to use it. They're all hitting under the mountain. They're going to use it in the days to come. Everything they're doing is as a bait. They hit 160 targets. They will hit another 1,000 targets. United States has hit, I believe, 78 targets. Iran 160 and will hit 1,000 targets in the days to come. Okay? And so it will lead this nation to move more tanks, more weapons to Iran to defend themselves. But that's the falling of this nation. It's just the way the Lord has shown it to me and many other people. And people don't understand why is this happening this way. Persia, I didn't want to jump to that, but when United States back in 91, 92 attacked Iraq, everybody got confused with Iraq and Iran. Because Bible scholar went back to the Bible to study whether Iraq and Iran were the same. Okay, they're brothers from the same mothers. And they people got confused back in 91, 92. And said, wait a minute, United States is attacking through Bush father, Iraq. But then, my brother and sister, Iran also fought with the U.S. in Iraq in 83. There was a general of the U.S. yesterday on the news talking about this. I could download the audio and play it. What happened in 83, where Iran and the United States, the attack, which I talked about it once in the line. People question, how do you know about that? My brother and sister, there was another attack in 86. I came to the U.S. in 1986. When I turned the television in New Jersey, when I came, they were talking about Israel attacking the Lebanon, my brother and sisters. And United States and Iran had their encounter in Iraq during that time, lightly. And I was watching that, and I didn't know why this information caused so much I was so entertained by it. I was a child of 14 years old, entertained by what I was watching in 1986, my brother and sister. And for a year on after that, pieces by pieces, I can tell you what happened. I heard on the news and talking about what happened in 81, what happened in 83. I'm watching it in 86. I come to the Lord in 92 to 93, commitment to the Lord to begin to preach the gospel. 32 years later, I'm still preaching the gospel of the Lord, almost 33 now. And still, all these events now, when I opened my Bible in the 90s, I began to see all this stuff, and I'm like, wow. I saw more information than what the news was giving me. The news was coming out with information here and there, but the Bible was giving me a whole meal, lunch, dinner of information about all this stuff. And I could not put down the Bible. I could not. I mean, I was spending hours and days just reading the Bible and seeing all these things. And like, how can people not see it in the Bible? But I was seeing it. And it's because when God was working in my life, that one day I will be teaching about all this stuff, my brother and sister. And so when I came on the Lord's Tower to talk about these things, so many people disagreed. And then year after, people said, bro, you were right, Brother Elvie. Wow, why didn't we see that? Why didn't we see you were bringing this Bible study out of the book of Daniel? Some people ask me, "Can Brother Elvie, can we'll give you an offering if we can download all your Daniel Bible studies?" No. Download them for free. Pastor began to contact me. Can we play your audio in our church? New York, different state. I said, yes, please, go ahead. And they contacted me. Brother Elvie, we're playing in our Bible study your Bible study at the book of Daniel. We never seen her so much information. Thank you. Can you please follow up with your Bible study? And I try to do it once in a while because sometimes the Lord gives me a dream and a revelation, and then I'll go to the dream and I'll, like tonight, I wanted to bring this out, the information, which the Lord confirmed to me. But since he gave me a dream this morning, I said, you know what, I'm going to stick with the dream. Leave this other stuff for another day. But I know people will love it, though. It will help you through the Bible understand what's happening and what is about to happen. There are things about, because the Lord took me last week to the Middle East. He took me in the spirit. I'm standing there. I'm looking at the 12 the Hamadi, the Choyman, speaking with all the Arab leader. He's talking to them about their plan. Okay? And they're planning to get the U.S. to go in there, my brother and sister. They have a plan. They have a net when you want to catch a lot of fish, and then you got to drive the fish somehow to that net, and that's what they're doing, you know. And so we got to do it through with the Bible verse and the Bible in our hand, and that will edify our lives so much. Amen. But in regard to those that are asking for the Bible study, I will try to go back and continue as much as I can, but we're going back to Iran this Tuesday night, my brothers and sisters, because people are following this, and the information, when they watch it on the news afterward, a week, a month, or 2 months after, they say, wow, brother, that is incredible, because there are several nations, including Turkey, that have said yes to Iran, brother, and they're shaking hands, and they say what Psalm 83 says. They made a tamu. A tamu, it's like a pact. We're all brother, and we're all going to join you on whatever decision you make, Iran. Whatever decision, Russia has said it, China has said it, whatever decision you make, Iran, we back you up 100%. 100%. With anything you need. Okay? What is your plan? To get the U.S. here. All right, go ahead. Do what you have to. So the plan is working, okay? And the Lord showed me through violence, they're going to drive the U.S. into there. I was talking about it 2 weeks before this began, and now people are like, wow, Brother Elvie, you said that this would happen, and it started. It started. Yes, it's a plot together because President Putin, it's like the leader in the plot, and the president of China. And like, Brother Elvie, that was so accurate. It started, and look. We're already hitting target near Iran. Exactly what we were talking about, my brothers and sisters. It's all planned. And if you got to see it through the Bible and then say, you know, God said this will be this way. We've been talking about it, and exactly it's happening. When the Lord is so awesome, because he'll let you see in the Bible, and then he'll give you a dream or a vision and show you what you're seeing in the Bible that is true. Because how can the Bible not be true? Think about it. How can the Bible not be true? It's the word of God. So that's why it has to be based on the truth, based on the Bible. And once you see it based on the Bible, the rest of history, the rest is old news, my brother and sister. So that's why I want to invite you to the Bible Tuesday night. Sit down together, open the page, and go verse by verse and see what's going to be unfolding in the days to come. And then just leave it as that and watch the news afterward. Watch how the word of God comes to pass 100%, my brother and sister. People say, you were talking about Iran. We thought you were crazy. People said to me, why are you talking about Iran 4 and 5 years ago? Why? What's so important about Iran? Nothing was going on with Iran. And I said, you don't see in the Bible what's going to be unfolding with Iran in the future to come. And then they start listening, and now they're watching the news like, Brother Elvie, wow, a brother says, you were talking about this. Look what is unfolding with Iran. Brother Elvie, the 12 Iman is there. The Hamadi is there. And he is the one moving all these pieces. And you got to see it through the word, because if not, it's an evil plan. Yes. You don't want to miss. In the last day, God's giving us the information through Daniel, through his word, through the prophet, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and more, even Psalms. Why is he giving us all this information? For us to study. So you won't be surprised when you watch it on the news. Or when the news decides to lie to us like CNN has done over the years and make fake news, you won't be deceived. Because what did Jesus say in Matthew 24? In front of the temple, supposedly where the truth was coming out of. He sits in the Mount of Olives, and he says, be you not deceived. Look behind me. You see this temple? There will not be a stone or a stone standing. Standing in the place where the righteous supposedly of the city goes in to pray in the temple of God. He says, you see this building? Not a stone. When the rabbi heard that, they tear their clothing. They tear their clothing. How dare say he this? And then Jesus said, you see this temple? You destroy this temple, and I will build it back in 3 days. Now he's not pointing now to the building. He's talking about himself now. First, it's the temple that will be destroyed. That not one stone of a stone will be left. And then he says, "You see this building?" He's talking about two buildings now: the building, the temple, and the building himself. Hey, doesn't the Bible say that the owner of the house is greater than the house? He is greater than his own house. Heaven, a heaven, cannot contain him. He is greater. He talked about the lesser temple, his temple, the house of God. But then why did he talk in this way? Why did he use this language? The language is, he is the temple, and he is greater than the temple. Because he's God Almighty. And want his people to have faith in him and not in the buildings. Because people will have faith in the material and not in the spiritual. But he is a spirit, because God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And he that might worship him, might worship him in spirit and in truth. My brothers and sisters. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my. We'll continue. Tuesday night, do not miss the Bible study, my brother and sister. Amen. Tony, you want to say goodbye to everyone?
Yeah. Goodbye. You know, the Lord is good. He is good. And
I can feel his anointing. I love it. Thank you, Lord, for helping my cult.
Yeah, he is good. He has been here with us, and as he always is, you know, he will not leave us.
Thank you, Lord.
So good, yeah.
He is so good. Looks like no one wants to leave.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying the Bible study? No one wants to leave. Everybody's like, brother, are you going to continue? What's going to happen here? Thank you, Lord. Well, we have these prophecies that confirm everything we've been talking about. Thank you, Lord. I wanted to play for the last hour. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. But I tell you, hallelujah, my brother and sister, Jesus is coming. And he's coming for his bride that have made herself ready for him. How do you make yourself ready? Get your mind and brain and everything in him, in his word.
Yeah.
Look to Jesus, the author and consumer of your faith. Let him be your desire, your thinking, your mind, what you want. Love him more than anything else.
Yeah.
Let him be your number one in your life, my brother and sister. Peter, I didn't want to go there. That was the message for today. Peter became a stone. Peter was Simon. That was my message today. And Peter was made a stone. He was called Cephas by Jesus. And Cephas means stone. Some people say little stone. Stone. But when Satan was in heaven, he walked among the stones, says the prophet. What stone? I used to think it was the stone that you walk upon. No. He walked among the stone of God. We were chosen him before the foundation of the earth. He walked among us. The stone of God. And Satan noticed something about Peter. That Peter was coming to being like Christ too quickly. And Peter says to the Lord, Lord, if it's you, Lord, command me to walk to you. And the Lord says, Peter, come hither. And Peter began to walk over the water. Brother insisted. And when Satan saw that, it was like he fell off his chair now. What? Peter is walking over water. He's becoming the stone that he is in God from eternity. This man is dangerous. I better go to God and ask him that I was sweeping out like, is it weed?
Yeah.
I got to sweep this man like weed. Because this man's faith, if it develops, he's becoming like Christ, the stone that the builder rejected, the cornerstone of the house of God. I tell you, this is the message, but thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Peter was moving in that direction of Jesus, becoming the living stone, my brother and sister. And Satan got really worried. And Jesus says to Peter, Peter, Satan have asked that he will sweep you like weed. But I have prayed that your faith will not fail. He didn't ask for Matthew. He didn't ask for John. He didn't ask for Luke. He asked for Peter. None of the other one walk over the water. None of the other one name was changed Cephas. Because when Jesus changed you, you become like him. Peter was becoming like Jesus, a stone, a living stone. And that really worries Satan. That really concerned him. His kingdom was shaken by what Peter did. He walked over water. He's becoming a living stone like Jesus. My brother and sister, the plan of God is that we will become like Christ. And Peter is walking in the supernatural now. And that really worries Satan. When a man or a woman believes God and come so close to God and become like Christ so much that begins to walk in the supernatural. My brother and sister. But Satan is like a step that you and I need to walk up on to get closer to God. He's the next step, as God showed Brother Larry, that when you get to level 11 and 12, you will encounter the devil face to face. And if you keep looking, walking with the Lord, you will take those next step and you become above his level. He cannot hold you back anymore. Because the devil will meet you at a certain level in your walk. And how may many take a step back. But if you stay faithful, seeking the Lord, the step that he wants you to stay back, you take it forward and you go above his level. And from there, he cannot stop you anymore. And the Lord took Brother Larry in the spirit, and he met Satan on the way. And he went and grasped Satan and began to beat him and beat him and beat him. And Larry says, I cannot believe I was afraid of this thing at one time. He left him on the floor, so angel the devil could not move. Larry looked at him and said, Brother Elvie, you know that inside his body, he's full of worms? He's tormented by worms all the time, as the prophet said. And as I move upon his level, God told me to continue to go forward. The devil will try to stop him from praying. The devil will use people to stop him from seeking the Lord. Here and there. And every time he comes close, something wrong will go wrong. And Father said, don't look to the problem. Look to my son. And you will go about those levels. And Brother Light continued to do that as a fasting and prayer. Until he passed the level. And then God brought him before the devil. He grabbed the devil and began to beat on him. He says, I could not believe I was afraid of this, that this thing was holding me back from coming closer to the Lord. How many people is he holding back for going to the above level in the Lord? He uses the husband, the children, the job, the car. He uses everything to hold people's back. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, and you continue to press forward, you will go above his level, and no more can he hold you back. No more. My brother and sister, hallelujah. When the Lord says that he that overcome, he will make him a pillar. Pillars are made of stone of the house of God, where he will not come out of there no more. He will make you a pillar. You will be a stone, living stone like him. And the power of God and the devil will not stop you. Join us Tuesday night for more. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua.
I had a dream that Jesus came back. I didn't see him. I didn't hear a trumpet, and I didn't see angels. When Jesus came, I saw the piles of clothes on the floor, and I saw the coming of Christ, which was a complete explosion in the skies, and I knew that our Lord, my Lord, your Lord was here, and nothing is going to matter. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And here he's already proven himself to you, and you don't have to sit here and, oh, give me a sign, give me a sign. After you have dreams of him coming, which is the real truth, you don't even want to be here on earth. You want to be with him. You just want to be with him, and you just want him to come and get you. If you want to go with him, you have to repent, and you have to give him your whole heart. You just run to him. He'll figure it out. Just come, because he's going to come soon.
Praise the Lord. YouTube, Body of Jesus Christ, God bless you. How are you? I pray that you are doing well. I pray that you are rejoicing in the Lord and in your salvation. I pray that you are setting your eyes on Christ. I pray that you are walking close to him. I pray that you are repentant of your sin and that you're turning from any wickedness in your life. Time is really short. I had the most, I don't know why, these zombie dreams that I've had, this one really terrified me. It was so, I think the Lord's just letting me feel a little bit more of how real this is. Like, I feel like he's been so kind to me in my dreams because I never have fear. I just feel fine, bold, courageous, but I think he's giving me a little more of a reality and what it's going to feel like. And to hear these things and to know that they are out there. I woke up from this dream and I just started crying. I mean, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. It is. We need to be prepared. This is no time to be lukewarm in your walk. It is no time to be worried about the things of this world because you do not want to be unprepared for what is about to happen on this planet. You're not going to make it otherwise. We have to be without spot, without blemish. The Lord, I woke up this morning and I heard the Holy Spirit speaking to me, spots, wrinkles. They just get these things out. They need to go. Ephesians 5, 26 and 27 say that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Are you holy and without blemish? Am I holy and without blemish? We need to ask the Lord to search us and make our garments white. And really, we need to put effort. It takes our own effort. We have to want to do this. The Lord doesn't just do it all for us. We have to put our effort into this. It's vital. It's vital. So I'm sorry. This just was so eye-opening, this dream. Like I said, the Lord just gave me more of I could feel more of what it's going to feel like for whoever has to experience this. I pray that he rescues us before this, but he gave me another dream about that. I need to go deeper into that dream and pray more on it, but about being rescued and why he isn't coming yet to rescue us. People are not prepared. They're not ready. He doesn't want to leave anybody here. He doesn't want to leave anybody here. So all of us have to be preparing ourselves, making ourselves ready for him, because otherwise we're slowing the coming. We're slowing the rapture by not being ready. He wants to rescue us. He wants us with him, but there's so many who are not ready. So let me just pray first and let me get on with this dream. God bless you. I love you. I love you all. I am praying for all of you. Let's just, focus our eyes. It's no time to have fear in the name of Jesus Christ. Can you all say this with me? In the name of Jesus Christ, I loose myself from fear and I receive power. I receive love and I receive a sound mind in the name of Jesus Christ. We loose ourselves from fear right now, Father. We don't have to fear anything. As long as we are walking with you, Lord, the fear of the Lord, that is all we need, is to have a fear of you, a godly fear of you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray, and I come into agreement, Lord, with anybody listening, Father. Lord, I am in full agreement with them. I pray you bind up all distractions, Lord God, and help them to be in agreement with me. It is so powerful to be in agreement, Lord. Focus their mind, Lord God. Focus their mind. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command every foul, lying spirit to be silent. We bind your tongues, demons. In the name of Jesus Christ, you cannot speak to us. Father, we ask that you forgive us for all of our sins. Lord, all anything, whatever it is, all sin, known and unknown, Lord God, any ungodly lusts in our lives, any unclean thoughts, any bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred, Lord God, anything, overeating, addiction, smoking, drinking, I don't know, but whatever it is, lusts, fornicating, Lord, whatever, I don't know what everybody's doing, Lord, but you do, Lord God, all immoral sexual sin, Lord God, please forgive us and help anybody that is struggling with these things to turn from it, because it is not worth it. It is not worth it. This life is a breath. It is so short. We have eternity to look forward to. It is worth suffering for this little bit of time. It is worth it, Lord God. Help us to see that it's worth it. Help us to lay our lives down for you, Lord God. We need to be holy and pleasing in your sight, Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to be a stench to your nostrils, Lord. We want to be a sweet-smelling aroma to you, Lord God. Remove the spots, blemishes, and wrinkles. Iron those wrinkles out, Lord. Clean our garments white. Help us to get washed in the water of the Word. Lord, those that are not reading their Bibles, give them a hunger to read, to get washed in the water of your Word. It is vital. We need to be reading every day. Lord God, please convict all of us to read more, to pray more, to fast more, to get into your presence more, to be more grateful. You showed me yesterday, Lord, on how grieved you were about the lack of gratitude in your church, Lord. Please help us all to be more grateful to you, to thank you no matter what, Lord. Thank you for trials. Thank you for hard times. Thank you that we have to suffer for your sake. It is worth it, Lord God, because you're working things in us. By suffering, we learn obedience. Just like you, Jesus Christ, and no one suffered like you. And you're God. So thank you so much for everything. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time, Lord. Holy Spirit, please pour out your Spirit on all of us. Please touch us from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. Fill us with your fire, Lord. Fill us all. Deliver us from evil. Lord God, you are our Holy Father. We want to be more like you. Give us the mind of Christ. We want to think with your mind, Lord. Help us to cast down all wicked thoughts and imaginations. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we just pray for your fire to fill us. Fan the flame, Lord. Fan the flame. Help us draw closer to you, Lord. Set our eyes to your face, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord, I just pray you speak through me. Relay this dream, how you showed it to me, Lord God. Let me remember everything accurately. Holy Spirit, please, you take over. You take over. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I praise you. We all praise you. I pray that we all will praise you all day long. Thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus Christ's name, amen, amen, hallelujah. Praise God. He did so much for us. Oh, the Lord showed me his grief. Just going to church yesterday, and you got a few people who are rejoicing, and everybody else just, blah, no big deal. Jesus Christ came and died for us. Come on, if your name is written in the book of life, you should be screaming hallelujah to the Lamb of God because he's amazing. So, it was just very grieving. But you be the one, you know, go into a place and bring the light and the joy of God. And just who cares what anybody else thinks? Jump up, shout for him. He's so worthy. He's so worthy. I was yelling hallelujah. I didn't care. I don't care what anybody says. Oh, we need that. He's so amazing. All right, let me get on with this dream. I'm sorry. So in this dream, I'm in this big, huge building. Big building. Like, it almost looks like it would be like the size of a factory. Like, maybe it was a mansion. I don't even know because I only remember seeing little parts of it. But I knew it was a big building. I felt as though it was up on a mountain, like up high. I wasn't outside, but I felt that in my spirit. So, you know, it's just that I had that knowledge. And one thing I remember doing was one of the first things I remember doing. And I was with a whole group of people. A couple I knew, but the rest, I don't know who they were. But I remember it still being light out at this point, at one point, and going over to these windows that were high up and shutting these thick curtains shut. Because I wanted to avoid anything from the outside, the undead, from looking in. I didn't want them to be looking in. I didn't want to draw any attention to us in this place. So shutting these thick, thick curtains over these windows was one of the first things I remember, and it made it very dark. It blocked a lot of the light from coming in from outside, and I remember mentioning how dark it was to somebody else that was there. The dream shifted, and let me think. I was sitting together in this big group of people, and we were in the middle of this big room, and I was sitting in a rocking chair that was set up there. There was a couch over here. There was a bunch of people in the middle of the floor over here. And I remember that behind me was an open hallway, something that everybody else really had their were facing. Me, I had my back towards it. And I was like, no, this isn't going to work. I need to get up. I can't be sitting with my back facing this hallway, because I felt like there may be a chance something could creep in. I don't know how they would have gotten in, but these zombies, the undead, would have, just in case, I needed to be in a different place, a different position so I could see. And I remember a woman standing there, I'm pretty sure it was a woman, and she had two dogs on leashes. And these dogs were being so quiet. It was like they knew to be quiet. They were being so quiet. But I knew that they would be alerted before anyone else if there was any sound coming from any area in this building. So it was a scary thing, because then if the dogs made noise, these zombies would hear them. But they weren't making noise. They were being unusually quiet. And if I knew they'd be alerted. They'd be alerted. We would have them, because their hearing is better than ours, to alert us if anything was coming in. So I immediately got up from that chair, and let me see. I looked over, and I saw a brother in Christ of mine. I looked at him. I recognized him. He was one of the people that I recognized as my sister in Christ's husband, and he was sitting there, and I remember he had headphones in. It was one thing I noticed. He was wearing his headphones, and he had a peaceful look on his face. He looked very peaceful. Like, he wasn't affected by what was going on, and he was just chilling out. And nobody was making any noise except for this one kid. And now, at this point, it's nighttime. It's nighttime. We know to be quiet. It is vital to be quiet in the nighttime, because we had to be. These things can hear so sharply. I had another dream before this, it's up on one of my videos, but just the sound of my arm going over the glass like that slight sound was so loud to these things that they could hone in on me immediately just by some small little sound. So you have to be quiet. It was vital to be quiet at night. Otherwise, they'd locate you. It's crazy, right? Let me see. I got up from the rocking chair, and I looked at a brother in Christ, and I saw across from me was my husband sitting on a couch. He was sitting on the couch, you know, near one of the walls. And I went over, and I sat with him, and I remember covering myself up with a thick blanket. When I put it on me, I was thinking, okay, I want to protect my body. I don't know how I'm going to fight something with a blanket on, but the Lord was showing, I don't know, to keep our bodies protected. He showed me in other dreams to have leather jacket, leather being a good thing because of biting. It's thick. This sounds crazy. It does, but he put it on my heart. Leather boots, leather jacket, leather. So, you know, when this comes down to it in the end, that's just what he's showing me. So, let me see. I sit down with my husband, and I could see the open hallway now, and I covered myself with a heavy blanket to protect my body. And now there was this little boy. I don't know if he was like 11, 12, 13 years old. He was there with us, and he had this little toy submarine or boat. It looked like a submarine. And this thing was electronic, and it was making noise. Not like a really loud noise, but enough noise. It was the only thing making noise. It was this kid with this submarine. And I felt so urgent in my spirit that he needed to stop playing with that toy. And I asked him, please, can you turn that down? When really he should have shut it off. And he was like, he looked at me like, yeah, right. And he turned his head and he had an attitude. He had an attitude. He wasn't going to do that. And he didn't care. He didn't care. He wouldn't listen to me. And he made a face at me like, yeah, right. And I whispered loudly to him that these things could hear that. I told him that they can hear that, that they would be able to locate us by that sound, even though we were in a building and they were outside. They'd be able to hear that. That's how good their hearing was. I told him about the other dream I had and that the Lord showed me that. He obviously didn't care for some reason. So I proceeded to grab the toy out of his hand. I got up, I ripped the toy out of his hand and I handed it to my husband. I said, can you shut this off? And my husband shut it off. The undead heard it, obviously, because now I'm hearing these things, many of them, start to come towards the building we were in. They were not even near us yet, and because of the sound of that toy, they started, you could hear them drawing closer, making these hoots and screams that were so, they just shook you to the core, the sound they were making, like, Wah! Like, I can't even do it. It was like a hooting, like this high-pitched, screeching hoot. All together, they sounded crazy, not human. And now that the sound of the toy was off, I was like, oh, okay, now we all have to be quiet. I believe this is why my brother in Christ had his headphones in, because he knew what to expect. And it was probably his way of staying calm, not listening to these things. Because I was alerted in my spirit. I felt so urgent at the sound of what they sounded like. And I knew they were closing in. And they had somewhat of an idea until that toy got shut off. And I don't know. It makes me think of submarines, too. Why was the toy a submarine? You know, maybe there's more to this dream about location. I don't know. I'm not going to read into that because it's something I have to put into prayer. But so the sound was horrific, strange howling, like a whoop, 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 like this whooping, hooping sound all together, a bunch of different voices, and this strange howling, high-pitched, just screaming hoop. Like, I knew that the sound of the toy brought them closer, making it, that it was going to make it harder for us to travel in the morning, because now these things we're closer to where we were because of the noise, now, even though now we're being quiet, so they couldn't hone in anymore, as long as we stayed quiet. Oh, it's just like, what? But I knew, I said something to my husband about, they're closer now. I'm like, now they're closer. Like, when we go out in the morning, it's going to be harder for us to get anywhere because these things are closer. And I felt an urgency, and I felt dread. And my husband, being the loving man that he is, put his hands over my ears because of the sound. The sound was so disturbing. It's scary. I mean, I woke up and I was like, Lord, I don't want to be here for this. Please take us. Like, when are you coming, God? When are you coming? And, you know, he gave me another dream after that about the rescue. And I'm trying to, Lord willing, make a video on that. But there's so many people that aren't ready, that are not ready, and he wants to rescue all of us. So we may be going through this. And we can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives us strength. We can do all things. His peace will be upon us, but we have to stay close to him. We have to get rid of any sin in our lives, any and all of it. It's not worth it. We're in the end. We're going to see things that never happened before on this earth. I don't know. I just wanted to put this dream out there. I pray that the Lord give you insight, that he give you revelation, that he give you dreams and visions and confirm these words. Please take this all into prayer. Please ask the Lord to show you. He'll show you. Be prepared. Make yourself ready. The most important thing is to be ready. We can do all things. It's just really disturbing. It really is. There's things that people can't even imagine. Just imagine putting yourself right in the middle of the movie I Am Legend. That just being in that place and it's reality. It just sounds crazy, but I've had so many of these dreams. The Lord keeps showing me and showing me and showing me. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen to these abominated when the change and the switch happens. So I pray your day is blessed. I love you all. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome to the God Seller 7 End Time Prophecy Channel. This is take two. I'm Sister Barbara, and I have a prophecy I'd like to share with you today. I got it yesterday. Let's see, February 4th, 2024. So join me in the King James Version Bible. That's why I had to start over. The book tipped upside down, and I lost my spot. Okay, so I'm going to be in Revelation, of course, chapter 16. Let's start at 8. All right, I feel the Holy Spirit. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. All right, I think that's as far as I'm, yes, that's as far as I'm going. Okay, so once again, I got it's in my phone, that's where I put it, so I didn't, lose it. So I got this, today is February 5th, 2024. Now this confirms a lot of things going on out there. Daughter, speak to my children. I am changing times and seasons. Here's the Holy Spirit will. Where it was once hot, snow will fall. Where it was once cold, the sun will scorch the earth. My times are not man's times. Stars will fall from the sky. The heavens will shake. Man will not comprehend what is coming. Wow. He does not know me or my words. To those who ask, I give wisdom, knowledge, and understanding freely. Have you asked me? Do you know me? I have scattered my messengers across the nations. Open your ears and listen to the hidden knowledge from the ages. Wow. I have sent them to help you. I put my words in their mouths to bear witness of my majesty. Wow. I know it's in two pieces. Dear Lord, please help me. Do not be obstinate. I sent them to help you. I put my words in their mouth to bear witness of my majesty. All right, here we go. To bear witness of my majesty and truth. Are you with me or against me? Soon a great divide will come, good and evil. Will you stand, wow, Holy Spirit, I'm going to cry. Will you stand with the Almighty One? Will you choose eternal life? I have made a way for you. I see your heart and thoughts. I'm going to cry from this. Come to me, turn away from the world and its sin. Okay, now here's the hammer right here. Daughter, speak of the coming catastrophe. A financial and economic collapse like no other on earth. Wow. Call on me. I am with you. Wow. I'm like overcome with the Holy Spirit here. Or, no, he's not messing around. He's telling us plainly what's coming. You need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can read about that in the book of Acts, Acts 2:38. So overcome here with the Holy Spirit. Okay, go back. Speak of the coming catastrophe. The financial and economic collapse like none other on earth. Call on me. I am with you. Call on him. All right, let's go back to the beginning one. I can't even believe this. All I heard for like 2 days straight was this part, the beginning. I'm changing times and seasons. Now, I don't really follow all the scientific stuff, but I think there's something going on with the North Pole and South Pole. I don't know if this could be it. Do they call it the pole shift or something? I don't know. All right, but this is what it seems like. Where it was once hot, snow will fall. Where it was once cold, the sun will scorch the earth. Stars will fall from the sky. So we're going to be seeing all these things going on if we're here. Now, I know in another prophecy, people ask me questions. I know in another prophecy, he did say, you will be here to see some things. Now, we already went through, I can't even say it, I'll just call it the pandemic. We already went through that like more than one time. So we are seeing things. But the bottom line is, do you know him? You must be born again to enter the kingdom. It's in the Bible. Read your Bible. You should be reading it front to back. Get an easy version. If you can't understand all the these and those, you need to know this. Everything that's happening right now is in this book. You don't even need to put the news on. That's why I said this. Because I saw something on there in the science thing about the pole shifting or something. Do you know him? Do not be obstinate. Obstinate is stubborn if you don't know. Okay, I have hidden. Okay, this is the coolest part. Listen to the hidden knowledge from the ages. Now, little by little, he's revealing little pieces of things to people that are speaking for him. Okay. Now, when I started getting these prophecy messages, I want to say back in like 2007, 2008. Now, some of you guys know this, and welcome all my new friends and subscribers. But normally, when I was cleaning, you know, it's usually quiet. So he started calling me with prophecy messages, and he would call me and say, "Get a pen and write." And then this is how I ended up with these prophecy messages. Because I prayed for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, just like he said. And he's revealing the hidden knowledge. So he called me the one day, and he said to me, speak the prophecy messages. They're not given to you to, and this is kind of how he put it. He talked to me like we talk. I didn't give you the prophecy messages to have them put in a book in the drawer. And that's exactly where our prophecy messages were. They were put in a book, a journal, and they were put in the drawer. And I had like one full journal. Then once Brother Dan got the gift of prophecy, then he started his journal with the prophecy messages. He said, speak the prophecy. Speak them. It is a written word. Now I want the written word, the speaking of the prophecy to bear witness of the written word. I was like, whoa. Excuse me, like, where am I supposed to be speaking these? I mean, I was so shy. I mean, excuse me. Teacher told me one time, I didn't even know what your voice sounded like. I never even heard you speak. When I ran into him one time at the store. He told me to speak the prophecy messages on the little YouTube channel that I made to listen to Christian music. I was like, wow. He's speaking to you. Maybe you don't know it's him. So if something is tugging, I'm going to say tugging on your heart, or you keep on hearing or getting something over and over and over, he's trying to tell you something. Now, lately I've been saying over and over. Now, it started with 11-11. Now it's 7-11. Now, I didn't actually research or Google to see what those numbers mean, 7-11. Every time I would see something, it would be 7-11. He's calling you. He wants you with him. That's why every prophecy message is a repent. Repent and come to him. Okay. He put, let's see. I put my words in their mouth to bear witness. And he's awesome. You need to be able to hear him and know what's going on. Let's see if I can get this any better. All right, here we go. Good and evil. That's the old one. All right, don't be obstinate. I've sent them to help you. I put my words in their mouth. A great divide. Good and evil. You must know him. You can see how things are, I'm going to say what it is. Things are falling apart in the world. You need to know Jesus. You need to know him. I can't put it a different way. Will you choose eternal life? I am the way. Let me see. When I heard this catastrophe, I was like, whoa. Now, I've been seeing videos or headlines of videos about financial collapse. And we know this happened before. It's going to happen again. We know it happened during the stock market collapse. When was it, in the 20s? It's going to be worse than that. So have a plan. Have a plan. Have some food, extra food, some extra cash. Let's see, if there's a disaster, an alternate way out of your area. What else? Some extra supplies. You don't know what's going to happen here. You stand with the mighty one. Call on me. I am with you. You need to call on him. Ask him for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I used to pray that on the Bible. When I get it out, I'd ask him for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and I'd also ask him, what do you want me to read? And then I'd open the Bible and see. And it was so cool when I did that. It was like, wow. You need to know him. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I know I'm rambling. So let me do my prayer of Jabez before I forget what I'm doing here. Oh, look at this guy, how beautiful it is. God the Father in heaven, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, bless me indeed. Expand my territory. Keep evil and the devil away from me and my family. Let your hand be with me always, and please don't ever let me cause anyone harm or pain. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Dear Lord, please pour out a blessing on all your children listening. We love you. We want you in our life. I'm sorry how things went down here. I know you're grieved by what you see. You need to talk to him. Walk around the house. You know, I did it when no one was home. When I was cleaning, I would talk to him out loud. Then I heard him talking to me. That's how it went. The first time I heard him like that, we were sleeping. It was about, 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. And I hear somebody talking. So there's one. What is that? So here, I look at Brother Dan. I'm like, are you talking to me? And I still hear him talking. I bang him. Are you talking to me? What are you saying? He goes, go to sleep. It's like, okay. And I can still hear the speaking. I said, do you hear that? And then I started to repeat it. And it was a prophecy. How about that? So don't discount anything. I don't care what anybody says. You know, if they think I'm crazy, good. Maybe they'll listen then. All right, so let's see if there's anything else. He's changing the climate. We know this. We're seeing it. We're already here we are in Pennsylvania. We had really, maybe an inch of snow the whole entire winter so far. That's it. If we even got an inch. I don't even remember there being an inch. Yes, there was an inch on the balcony, remember, an inch. Okay. So we know he's changing this. And he's going to scorch the earth. Everything you need to know is in the book of Revelation. It's going to be playing out one by one, boom, boom, boom. This is how it goes. So get a book and read it and tell your family what's going on. It doesn't matter if they like it. Just tell them. I told you what I used to do. We'd be in the car. They couldn't escape. And then I'd start talking about a subject. They couldn't get out. They had to listen. So that was my method. The other method I had was with Brother Dan. I used to leave. I used to always be reading the Bible on the porch. When we'd sit out there after dinner, I would leave the Bible out there sometimes. Hoping that he would be interested and get it. Like, what is she reading all the time? It must be good. So one day, I was in the house. I happened to browse out the front window, and guess what? He was sitting on his chair reading the Bible. Yay. Thanks, God. This is how it works. All right, better get going here. I'm rambling. Okay, first thing I want to do is I want to thank everyone that supports the ministry and helps us. Thank you for the encouraging comments, translations in other languages. What else? Cards and gifts you send in the mail. Thank you so much. And especially thank you everyone that supports the ministry financially. That is really a lifesaver to many. What else? YouTube. Please share the video. Like and share. Share. Make sure you're still subscribed. Hit the notification button so you know what's going on. Because what I've been doing now, when I'm getting a prophecy, if I have another one like back-to-back like these last two, I'll put a notice up on the Facebook page to come visit later when I get a chance that I'm able to put the video up like today. So like and share on the Facebook pages. Let's see. It's Scott Tiller 7 End Time Prophecy. Sister Barbara Francis, you could go on there. You don't even need to send a friend request or anything, and I usually post stuff all around everywhere. We better get going here because kids are coming for lunch. All right, so once again, God bless you all. Thank you, everyone, again, all my new friends and subscribers. Now, if you're wondering, you know, what's wrong here, I had a major stroke back in 2015. There is a playlist out there on it. You can look under the videos. And it's really amazing that I was not supposed to survive and never get out of the nursing home. That's how it was going. But guess what? I can walk now. I can talk. I can do what I need to for the most part. So we love you all. Have a blessed and safe day.
Blog Talk Radio.
Deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our heads in worship as we praise your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our heads as we bless your holy name.
You deserve the glory
and the honor.
And the honor.
Father, we love you, say,
Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy
you
name.
You deserve the glory.
You deserve the glory.
And the honor. There is no one else like you. There is no one else. Cause you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else. Cause you do mighty things, and you do glorious things. You're a faithful God, awesome is your name. Somebody come on. You do glorious things.
You do glorious.
You're a faithful God.
Awesome
is your name. We give the glory, God. You do mighty things.
You do.
You do glorious things.
You're
a faithful God.
Awesome
is your name.
Awesome
is your name. You're a faithful God. Awesome is your name. You do mighty things. You do glory. You're a faithful God. Your name is Yahweh.
Your name is Yahweh.
You're a miracle working God. Your name is Your name is Yah. Your name is Yah. You're a miracle working God.
Your name is
You want to declare it. Your name, your name, your name is
God, mighty Yeshua, mighty Jehoshua, mighty Lord, awesome, awesome God in power, in might, hallelujah, who is like thee, O Lord, who is like ye, O God, O mighty God, O awesome God, good God, great God, thank you, Lord, who is worshipped forever, whose name, hallelujah, liveth forever. Hallelujah, who is like thee, O Lord. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Messiah, Jesus, Lord, O God. Lord above all. Lord above heaven, Lord. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Hallelujah. By grace, ye are saved And it's not of yourself, the word says, but it's the grace of God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, O God. Merciful, good God, great God, awesome God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, sister. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He is worthy to be in praise. He is so awesome. He is so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I've been having a call this week. Amen. I've been coughing, and I didn't think I would be able to come on tonight. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. But thank you, Jesus. I hope that I can probably come on and share it and be on, you know, being in heaven this morning. And hallelujah, to being in the arm of God. I was holding on to God's arm this morning in heaven, crying for the things going on down here. I'm looking down from the throne of Father, blood down to the earth, and seeing the things going on. I said, Father, that you see all the other evil going on down there. And I was crying, and I was able to hold on to his arm of love, grace, and mercy. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I thank the Lord for that, because it's only through Christ that we're able to have this blessing of coming close to God through the blood of Jesus, through the sacrifice on the cross. There were things the Lord says to me this morning that I would like to share tonight. Thank you, Lord. Jesus spoke to me a few times and said things that are really important that we hear, that I believe will bless our lives. Every word that proceeds out of his mouth is life. Amen. It's eternal life. And he says he is eternal life. And when we come to him, when he's in us, we have in us eternal life. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And he makes us perfect. He makes us perfect. Hallelujah. And when we are manifested in heaven above, we will be perfect, he says. And he showed me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. The last thing that we as people don't want to say that we're perfect. But Jesus said that he will make us perfect. He makes us perfect. He is perfect. He doesn't make a mistake. And he is in us. He lives in us. The only mistake we make is of the flesh. But when we walk in the spirit, not according to the flesh, my brother and sister, that's why, you know, when you read Romans 8, what Paul says to the Romans, he says, for therefore, now, because this began when you began to walk with the Lord. When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, from that very moment, you began to walk with the Lord. You began to walk in the Spirit. And this is Paul says, therefore, now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Hallelujah. In Christ, hallelujah, as long as we walk in the Spirit, in Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit that dwells in you and I when we see Christ as our Lord and Savior. Shalom, Sister Wendy. Welcome, Arlie.